don't know, I thought the only reason, not the only reasons, but one, it must be to spread all these pollens around and just to help a part of all of his creation. And I don't know about you folk, but in the garden this morning we walked out and there's one rose bush that hasn't been doing so well, and I took to it with the prune, secateurs, and it must have got a bit of fright, but it's just in awesome bloom. And it's another tree, Pat calls them pom-poms, and they're a white, lovely white flower, but all the gum trees and every shrub that's in the garden is just showing God's creation, you know, just blooming out, you know, everything that he grows, everything that he gives us just blossoms out, doesn't it? That's what God wants for us, you know, to grow, to blossom, to show our glory, you know, to show Christ in us. And like these plants, they must love just showing all their brilliance and colours. Well, we should be doing that our walk in God, and just showing, hey, we're living Christians, we're alive. Let's show the presence of God in us. So today we've got our message up. I've taken the message. My message this morning is in times like this, but taken from Colossians 3:23, which reads, as you can see it on the screen there, and we'll read it out. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And I suppose that's in every sphere of our lives. It's you know, whatever we do, whether it's in church, it's work, school, play, whatever, sport, every every sphere of our life, you know, we just should be, doing it as unto the Lord and with a glad heart. You know, we don't want to be doing things grudgingly for the Lord. Look, if you're serving the Lord and you do it grudgingly, you better give up. because we need to have a smile on our face while we're serving God. Amen? So it's really good. But this morning, I just want to, before I start, we had the joy of going to Mansfield the week before last, and it was just a great time there. We had the opportunity and the pleasure of inducting Pastor Nathan Bargavos into ministry, and Nathan's been a trainee, or still is a trainee pastor, but he's been pastoring the church for the last 3 years, and so it's just putting a seal on Nathan's life of what God's just trained this young man up, and it's been a real joy to walk alongside Nathan and help him in his walk for the Lord. And he's succeeding Pastor Mike Collins. Some of you may know Pastor Mike, but at the moment Pastor Mike is not doing too well with the health issues, and he's been in the hospital, in the Royal Melbourne Hospital, and was taken back home, and he's things didn't go all that well, and so he's back in Mansfield Hospital at this time. But he's not doing real well. So please just remember Pastor Mike. He's been a wonderful servant of the Lord, and he had a great input into this church as we, in the early days, we were called, Westvale Christian Family Church then. And Pastor Mike was a regular a guest speaker, and he was a man who really had an evangelistic heart and reaching out and for God, and just wanting to see people saved, and also and he's pastored and ministered in quite a few churches, and he's settled in Mansfield now. But we just trust that God will be with this man and just give him the days that God's given him will be with him. So this morning, as we move on with my message this morning, I just want to ask the question, what will you do in times like these? And you probably say, well, what times? Well, we only have to watch the news on television every night to see what sort of times that we are in. And it's not a very rosy picture, is it? It seems there's more good news than bad, isn't there? And it's just some horrendous evil things that are coming forth, and we see every day, and it just it's hard for us as God's people to comprehend, you know, why people do these things. Why do these things happen? But of course, the answer is they don't know God. They haven't got Jesus Christ in their life. So there's a real community, a world out there that we have to reach and continue to push in and hone in, and to help build the kingdom of God and give people an opportunity to enjoying the life that we have. You know, God's given us a wonderful life, haven't we? And to enjoy and just to enjoy his presence, enjoy everything, so I just see that, you know, as I said, every night, time and again, over and over again, we just see, you know, standards and laws, traditions, moral values, lack of respect, and God's law, you know, that's continually being eroded away. And look, there's things happening in our Victorian government, in our federal government, that miles apart from God's plans and purposes for our lives and for his creation, our people. And so you nearly need to pray every day against the wiles of the devil, and, you know, the gates of hell are not going to prevail, that God's army will keep marching forth. So just pray against, you know, what these governments are proposing. It's not good stuff, but you see it every night. But like I said, so as I said, you know, we can expect this from a worldly point of view, saying, you know, they don't know Christ, but we know that. But we don't have to accept that, and we've come to believe for more. We always believe for more in God, and that there is a better way, isn't it? That's in a life in God, a life in Jesus Christ. And I believe every person knows right from wrong. We know that. Andrew and I were talking the other day and were saying about babies, you know, what's the first word they say? One of them's no, no. You know, they also know how to say yes, but from a very early age, we know right from wrong. And I believe in that, my life, I something that I understood very early in life, and it's something that I always live by, you know. There's right way to do things, there's God's way to do things. And so that's the life we had to live. That's the life we have to live. But this, again, I ask, can we continually, or can and will we continually look to our Lord for his hand of protection and mercy upon us in the times that we are living in today? And I believe the answer, of course, is yes, we can, and yes, we will. Because we will, as God's people, we will stand. We are asked to do that. Will we look to God's command in Deuteronomy 6:5, where it says to love the Lord your God with what? All our heart, all our soul, all our mind, everything that is within us. You've heard us, that verse being spoke quite regularly from the platform here. But that's, will we stand in that? Will we abide in that? And will we do it heartily as the Lord, or is it going to be an ongoing chore to us? As I said before, we don't want to do things grudgingly. We want to do it unto the Lord. We want to serve the Lord well. And as the scripture says, whatever you do, will you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto the men? And I suppose many of us at times, we've been asked to do things and you said, Lord, I can't do that. I'm sure all of us at some times you've probably said, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I just go back to my early years working on the farm, and I think I was about 9 years old then, working on the farm, and I used to do the chores before I went to school, and when I come home, done all the chores. But come Saturday morning, there was a job that had to be done. The toilet pan had to be buried. And I dreaded that. And I think as a kid even then, I used to say, oh, Lord, I can't do this. And I'd get this pan from under the toilet and I'd go dig the hole and carry this pan like this, and I'd be all the time. And it'd splash on me and all that sort of thing. But I'd dig a hole and I'd put the can there and I'd push the can with the shovel and I'd run so I wouldn't get splashed and all that. But, it was one of those things that I just dreaded. And even now as I think, hey, Lord, how could you make me do that? But, it's a part of... They were the days we lived in. There was no sewage. If you had sewage, you must have been a very rich person or something. But, they were the times we lived in, and that's a part of training, things that, I just treasure today, that these things that God has instilled into my life and that I've taken on during my life in God. But as it says, whatever you do, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Do it for his sake and not to please man or others, because it's God. And even today, many people in our society, they've lost focus. They've lost focus on what is important, haven't they? Lost focus on what is important. And many have just come to a place of compromise. We see that so often. We're just compromising, pleasing people to cover a situation or whatever. And even in Christianity, instead of... preaching instead of teaching the word of God, many have come to the place of pleasing men and just tickling people's ears rather than seeking to please God. And that's a pretty sad indictment on God's people when they want to please people rather than God. And we know in preaching in God's word, there's a lot of hard sayings, isn't there? There's a lot of hard things. Sometimes we have to bring rebuke and correction and all that sort of thing. But we always try to do that in a godly way. But as I said, compromise isn't a good thing, is it? It's not a good thing. And so as it says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as to the Lord and not unto men. And Proverbs in 16:3 it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Your plans will succeed. You will prosper. You will do well in life. And God will be pleased because you've committed everything that you're doing unto him and looking to him to fulfill what he's asked you to do. And in fact, in John, just to bring John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's one of the things that we really have to do, But there are a lot of people, as we know, who are not willing to keep God's commandments. Compromise comes in, all this sort of thing. And there's a lot of people who are not willing to do whatever it takes to please the Lord. We have to do that time, many times, you know, whatever it takes, Lord, I'll do it. And put ourselves in that place. And just to encourage you this morning, know that God hasn't just saved you or I just to sit around doing nothing. Everyone, every person here today, if you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ, God has got a job for you to do. Amen? Amen. And that is to reach and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to wherever we go, to whoever we meet. We just have to somehow, some way, in whatever our talk, whatever we're talking about or whatever we're sharing, you know, to bring God into that situation. Amen? To do that. You know, we can all do that. And if every one of us led someone to Christ, this church would be overflowing. If we just, each of us just brought one person, led one person to the Lord and brought them to the church. And that's not a big ask, is it? And, it's something always on my heart that I want to be able to bring someone into this church. And so always try and use that opportunity somehow and to do that and share the gospel with in our daily life and with people. So we've been given that command, you know, to reach the lost, to go to the uttermost parts of the earth and to reach and preach the good news of the gospel. And as I said, to do this in trying times, to do and to please God rather than man, to do whatever it takes to serve the Lord. But in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 in first 3 verses, it speaks here about not carnality but Christ. You know, everything has to be Christ. In our walk, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? One way, Jesus. And it says here in chapter 3 of Colossians, just the first 3 verses, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen? So again, just a wonderful portion of scripture there that where the apostle exhorts us. He said, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart, set your mind on the things above. Look for godly things, Christ-like things. Look to God where above, you know, where he is seated there and in that position that he's given us. And what I feel there, I gather from the apostle is saying that if you are saved and you're living in the spirit and not in the flesh, then you are to seek the things that are above, not things of the earth, not on earthly things. So set our sights on God, look to God. And an old song we used to sing, the things of the earth were what? In what? And what are we asked to do? Turn our eyes upon Jesus. Amen? Yeah, so that was one of our early favourites years ago. But it's right what it says. The things of the earth will grow strangely dim. You know, we had a grand final and all that last week, but it's getting pushed aside now. Lots of other things get in the way of it. But the earthly things. But we need to look, you know, the things that God will enhance our life with, godly things. And we're encouraged to lay up, laying up treasures in heaven, you know, not in our earthly thing. When I say treasures, godly things, godly things that God's instilled in our heart, his word that he's instilled in our heart. These are the things that we lay up. These are the things that will be everlasting. They will be eternal. They won't erode away where other things will. So again, ask you today, you know, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? I'll let you think about that for a moment. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Do we have the boldness? Do we have the courage? Do we have the strength to stand in times when the world is trying to take over God's plans and purpose, to erode our way of living, the things that we hold dear to our heart? Are we willing to stand? Are we going to stand? Are we going to look to God to do these things? Will we continue to turn our eyes upon Jesus? Will we do that? We are to look to our Lord who is in the word of the Lord. Amen. I'll say that again. We are to look to the Lord in the word of the Lord. And as we do that, God will show us his ways. And he will continue to equip us to serve him in that way. And just have the heart to believe that our God is a God of abundance. Amen? Our God is a God of abundance. And as the scripture says, believe that God will do abundantly, abundantly above all what? Or think. According to what? Power the work of his. And what's that power? It's the same power that what? Raised Jesus from the dead. And that same power lives in us. Amen? Amen. So, saying this, as I ask, you know, what will you do? What does it take? And we just realise, you know, what we need to do. And I could put that first PowerPoint up, please, Caleb. And there it says, we must realise our position in Christ. You know, God has given us a wonderful position. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? And as we live in that, as we walk in that, as we position ourselves in that place and authority where God has placed us, you know, we do that, but we have to have an understanding that goes with that, that there are rules for holy living, aren't we? We're called to be a righteous people, and so we have to live and do things God's way, no matter what, no matter what. I'll have to breeze through these things a little bit. But, you know, if you are saved, and I believe that we all are, that you know, not, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power and love and of a sound mind. And seen a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson said, which says, keep your fears to yourself, share your courage with others. Because often, you know, we become fearful and afraid, but we need to keep them in our heart and commit them to God and not to man. Don't look to man for that to uphold you. But in our position with Christ, you know, we've been given a new life. Before, we didn't know how to love. But now we've been given the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We've heard that. We know that. He's given us a new life. Many of us can testify of a life we had before to the life we live now. We've been given a new language. The Holy Spirit has come upon us. And God has given us utterance to speak in other words, another language. And the Holy Spirit has come in and touched our lives in excuse me, such a wonderful way. The second one, please, Caleb, where it says there, we must realise our proclamation in Christ. You know, we have a duty and a calling upon our lives as saints and people of God, and to proclaim his gospel, amen? And it says in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A verse you've heard many times. But in doing that, you know, we must be dedicated, we must be determined, we must have a desire in our heart to do that. We must follow God's direction above all, and in doing that, we must be disciplined. All those things there that are part of that about going into the world to preach the gospel. If we want to be able to do that, you know, they're the things. Dedicated, determined, have that desire, direction, and be disciplined sort of people. And the third one, Caleb, thank you. And it says there, we must realise our power in Christ. Amen? Our power in Christ. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, Verse 24, therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. God's always thinking about us. God has, we are always on God's mind. Our minds may not always be on God, but God's mind is always on us, making intercession for us. And to have the faith to believe that he's got the power to save the lost. And we know our salvation depends upon Christ's work for us, while rewards depend upon our works for Christ. And he's got the power of sin over people's life. Sin enters in, as we know, and sin has its effects, because what sin is so deceitful, isn't it? Little conundrum, one of Gary's stories, I think. How does a worm get inside the apple? Anyone tell me? I can't hear too well, but I'll say. Perhaps you think the worm burrows from the outside. No, scientists have discovered that the worm comes from inside. But how does the worm get in there? Simple. An insect lays an egg in the apple blossom, and sometime later the worm hatches in the heart of the apple, then eats its way out. You got that? Sin in us is like a worm. It begins in the heart and works its way out through a person's thoughts, words, and our actions. I was really taken by that when I was looking at something when I was preparing this message. But that's how sin works. It starts in here. And that's where we've got to put a stop to it. We've got to put a stop to it. And number four, that, you know, we believe God is an awesome God. Amen? We sing that. Our God is an awesome God. And in saying that God, he's got the power to sanctify us, to make us whole. He's got the power over the storms that come our way, the storms of life. And he's got the power to supply our every need. Our God is a God of abundance. And he has the power over our suffering. Even though things come upon us, God somehow takes us through. And he's got the power over our sickness and that. And our sister testified this morning that God, our God is a healing God. And we have to believe that more and more and more and more. And to do that. So our God is an awesome God. And in order to fully surrender, we must realize our position, our proclamation, and his power. And as we know, our position is we are in need of a Savior. Amen? We are in need. We're only a work in progress. We're growing in the fullness and in the maturity of God. And as God continues to complete a work in us, you know, we just need to go ahead, lay ourselves on the altar at the feet of God and just come before him and say, here I am, Lord. I am just an empty vessel. I have nothing, but Lord, you can make me whole. You can build and you can implant things into my heart and spirit to make me the person you want to be. All we have to do is offer ourselves. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm willing. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. In spite of what man thinks, I will do for you. I will do for you. Whatever I do. Whatever it takes. And as I just said, our proclamation is to tell others about how Jesus has helped us. And how he can help them too. That power can conquer the toughest obstacle that we can ever imagine. And again, the cry goes out today, just as it did in times before. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And today is where the lost are found, where the broken are put back together. And I say today is a good day to come to Jesus, to come to know him, to surrender your life to say, just to say, here I am, Lord. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want you in my life. I want to just put the things of the past behind me, Lord. I want this newfound life in you, this newfound life in the Spirit. So, Father, we just again thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word, that your word is sure, that your word is an encouragement, your word upholds us, your word strengthens us, Father, your word builds our faith, Father, your word just touches our heart, and we can lead a life, Lord, that is well worth living, Father. We can say, I have a good life. I have a good life, and we have lived well because you have been in our life. You are our strength. You are our refuge, and in you we trust. So thank you, Father, again, Lord, and to this day, Lord, for your plans and purpose, Lord, that we might serve you in a way, Lord, in a way that will be uplifting to you. And Father, again, for whatever we do, that we may do it with all our hearts, Lord, all our hearts, as unto you, Lord, as unto you. We give it to you, Father. We will be a cheerful person. We'll be a cheerful giver. We'll be a cheerful servant. So, Father, we just bless you and thank you again for this day and our plans and purposes will succeed as we commit our ways to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.